With everything I ever loved under threat, and not a drop of hope, I made the only decision I could think of to protect my wife from the chaos I had created. And as a consequence, I lost her. As I hit the water, and the stream ran over me, pulling me beneath the bridge and beyond, I convulsed at the thought that I would never see her again. Sinking to the stream bottom, pulling keys from my pockets, I skipped through infinity, moving through different worlds, passing through the hidden veil, over and over again as I writhed in the cold water until every bit of my energy was gone, and finally, in surrender, I floated to the surface and watched the clouds change above me. They appeared and disappeared in the moonlight as I changed the position of my existence like a subatomic particle. In the sky, bats in mid-flight vanished. Owls flew from nothing. And all I could do was cry out the name of the one I left behind. This is the Disappearance Podcast, Episode 6, Carol.
What do you think happened to Alistair Glamis? You must have ideas that you haven't shared. You've spent a lot of time on this project.
You've asked me this before. Repeatedly, actually.
I'm going to keep asking you every time that you make me sit in front of this microphone.
I don't think that's my purpose here.
What do you mean that's not your purpose? Exploring these theories and ideas? I thought that was the whole purpose.
I just mean that I don't care so much about theories. I care about facts. I care about the truth.
Do you really?
What is that supposed to mean?
You're dancing around something.
Dancing?
Yeah, dancing.
What is it that you think I'm dancing around?
I'd tell you if I knew. It's like you're dancing around a fire, too afraid to step into it.
Well, what if I told you that you're the only one I ever wanted to dance with?
Then I would tell you that I know.
You know?
Of course I know.
Following my confrontation with Josh Strickens on Bascom's Bridge and my trip down Ray's Stream in the halls of infinite possibility, I finally came to rest, beaten and tired, caught by a branch on the edge of the stream bank. I would have died there, surely drowned in those waters, if I hadn't looked up at the moon and realized that I had lost my sight. Not my entire sight. But it had happened. I was blind in one eye. And ironically, the revelation snapped everything into focus. There it was. Proof that I had truly passed into and through other worlds. I climbed the stream bank and thought to toss the batteries and shake the water from my handheld recorder in an attempt to salvage any of the voices recorded on it. I had hours of recordings, moments from my wife as well as others. I didn't know at the time how much I would treasure those recordings. It's a miracle that they mostly remained intact. Over the past year, I have spent many hours just listening closely.
What do you mean if I had never been born?
I was just thinking about it. Don't you ever think, what would the world be like if you'd never been born?
No, I don't think like that at all. I don't want to think like that.
So, do you think you have a purpose?
I don't know about it being a purpose, but I do like to believe that I'm trying to make the world a better place.
Dripping wet, unaware of what kind of world I had arrived in, I trekked through the great northern woods. I was cold, half blind, and hungry. The only things I had on me were the clothes on my back, my recorder, and a single key. the last of the master keys that I had spent all night making in my room at the Crescent House Bed and Breakfast. The rest of the keys now rested at the bottom of Ray's stream, if not the stream of this world, then the stream of some other world. It didn't matter anymore. After meandering for hours, lost, I collapsed on the forest floor and fell asleep. It was a long sleep in which I had many dreams. In some of those dreams, I was much younger, a teenager actually, and I was about to become a murderer. Alistair had told me repeatedly that he would be dead soon if I didn't help him. He said that my decisions, my choices, would someday have the power to save him. He said that he was like a man playing poker with the devil, and ultimately he was right. But unfortunately, no one wins poker against the devil. Sam Glamis had told Alistair that some worlds worked like lodestones, magnets, pulling travelers into them. It would create duplicates, triplicates, quadruplicates. Of course, I wondered if it was all a fantasy. Surely there would only ever be one Alistair. I told him as much, and he laughed. It was somehow a sorrowful laugh. Alistair said that before he enrolled in Barton High School, he and his father had undergone a series of experiments involving the ocean. The idea was that if there were duplicates of oneself in the same world, then two would have the same ideas, perhaps even make the same choices, no matter how irrational and random. Alistair had chosen a random place to go and wait, inspired by his belief that another version of Alistair would have the exact same idea and meet him there. They could then trade stories and discuss their predicaments. The place for this meeting that Alistair selected was the beach, simply because it was a ridiculous place to choose. For those of you not from the area, the state of New Hampshire only has 11 miles of ocean access, all of which are over 3 hours away from Barton, New Hampshire. Alistair spent a weekend sitting at Wallace Sands on the New Hampshire coast. And according to Alistair, the experiment worked.
It smells different. Why does it smell different? Okay, Bosch. Bosch. Birds are flying downward. The owl in the fountain. Two white giraffes. Sorry. One white giraffe.
When Alistair told me about meeting himself on the beach, I believed him. I chose to believe him. I told him as much, and then I straight out demanded he tell me how I was involved in his survival. If his death was truly on the line, then I deserve to know everything. He said, no, not yet. But one night, as I slept, I was awoken by Alistair Glamis throwing pebbles against my bedroom window pane. It was the middle of the night. I snuck outside, and Alistair told me that he would tell me everything if I followed him out into the woods. So, I followed him. We walked for some time in the darkness before Alistair turned and announced we had traveled far enough. He then told me that no matter what world, what combination of decisions, that I, John Herman, killed him. Killed Alistair Glamis. He then very calmly pulled a knife from his belt and announced that that was why he had decided to kill me first. In retrospect, I imagine I got the upper hand so quickly due to Alistair being blind in one eye. We wrestled clumsily in the woods until the knife was no longer in his control. Rather, it was sticking out of his side. That's when the most terrible twist of fate occurred. You see, another Alistair ran into view. Two Alistairs were now before me. One standing, mouth agape in horror. The other Alistair lay dying on the ground.
Reynolds. Okay.
As his double took his last breath, Alistair explained the gamble he had made to save himself. In this world, my world, he had tried to become my best friend. He had told me everything about the history of Reynolds and Johnson, of Edgar Allan Poe's Eureka, of Hieronymus Bosch and the Garden of Earthly Delights, all of it, to shield himself from the dragon so that I would understand and therefore never become his murderer.
How do you think this is going to end?
What do you mean?
It's been 20 years. The police haven't found him. Alistair, I mean. Pardon my skepticism, it's not like you're going to find out anything new. Some dark secret that no one else has discovered in all these years.
Ouch. Tell me what you really think.
What I really think is if you start some kind of audio project based on a mystery, then you need a conclusion.
Killing someone is one thing, but knowing that you have probably murdered many times in millions of subtle variations across the realm of infinite realities makes you reflect on who you really are. It is somewhat inescapable that I am a villain many times over, as it was fated to happen. John Herman had killed Alistair Glamis once again, and it would happen again and again. Until he had completely disappeared. And I still want a friend, even though it's the end of the
world. If you're going to dig up the past and not offer anything at the end, then you have to at least be hopeful.
I just think he deserves to be remembered. Isn't that enough?
Maybe. Personally, I don't like mysteries without the chance of solution.
What do you mean by hopeful?
However you end it, then you have to end it on a hopeful moment.
What if there's no hope at the end?
Then forget the truth. Every unsolved missing person's case is someone's tragedy, someone's heartbreak. You have to give your listeners hope. You just have to. You have to let them dream, John. Do it for me.
After the fevered dreams of my dark past faded with the night, I made my way out of the woods. The sun was rising as I walked into downtown Barton, New Hampshire. Despite my hours of meandering, it turned out that I had done nothing but circled the town center like a satellite. But I quickly noticed that this Barton was not my Barton. The Barton Country Store looked like it had been closed, shuttered for at least a decade. The library was an open field. It had never been built at all. In this town, I found an even greater shock. I found John and Carol Herman, a married couple with two children. I spent several evenings standing in the woods, staring through their lit windows. Wondering what decisions had brought them there. Ultimately, I knew I needed to leave. This was not my home. 3 days after my arrival, I used the key. There was a post office. And over several months, I explored world after world, each time learning a little bit more about myself, the man I might have been. Some versions of me had started podcasts, some had not. It all depended on whether or not that John Herman had inherited a certain cardboard box. You see, after that dark night when we were teenagers, Alistair told me that he would be leaving. He said that he had one final plan to redistribute our cardboard box to a world where he and I were not friends. He said that he would plant boxes in worlds in order to help the naive versions of me shield themselves from the dragon. 20 years later, I collected many of those boxes. I put them into various storage facilities. Sometimes I destroyed them. Alistair's plan had only brought more chaos. It had ruined lives. The lives of Josh Strickens, Ricky Rawls, Tom Allegost, and I was desperate to keep my convoluted fate from ruining Carol's chance at happiness. And I did find Carol. Many, many different versions of Carol, but none of them were ever my Carol. And it hurt me to see them. Every one of them made my heart sink. I knew in order to retain my sanity, I needed to stop. I needed to find a place where I would not be a threat. I thought that if I made the decision to disappear forever, then all the others would eventually follow suit. And after a great many worlds, I found the perfect place. In this world, your world, my parents never moved to Barton, because Barton, New Hampshire was never incorporated as a township at all. It simply never existed. Instead, my parents moved to the Lakes region of New Hampshire. And in this world, your world, I don't have a sister named Talia. I have a brother. And I never married Carol, the girl I reconnected with at my 10th high school reunion. Because in this world, your world, Carol Minkowski was never born. For the past year, I have lived in the basement of John and Danielle Herman. And with my counterpart's help, I have been shielded by the illusion of fiction. You see, I released this project under the guise of a storytelling podcast. An audio drama like the shows that ruled the airwaves from the 1940s to the early 1960s. Cloaked by this medium, I told the story of my disappearance by first telling the stories of some of the others who have gone by my name, all leading to the final story of my own disappearance and the loss of my wife. And I want you to know that when you, my listeners, wake up tomorrow, you will wake up in a world where you have the ability to make decisions that can create whole universes. I have seen it. I know it to be true. You have the power to become the best possible version of you. No matter the choices of the past that you have made or were made for you, every morning you wake up is a new beginning. So if you live in chaos, if you're confronting your own dragon, then you keep fighting. No matter what path you choose, your days on this earth are numbered. And the fact is that you will disappear one day. If not today, then certainly tomorrow or the next day. This is not fiction. This is not a story. Someday it will happen to you. So make the absolute best of it for yourself and for your loved ones. So, now the end has come. Stars shining bright above. I used to know a kid named Alistair. I knew him well. We became good friends during the final months of my senior year of high school. Alistair was different than anyone I had ever met. He had a bold imagination, a passion for history and poetry, and a personal library of secrets. I spent long hours with him talking about a world in which choices were important, in which every variable and every decision could literally create universes. We captured these strange ideas on a set of vinyl records that we pressed with the help of our physics teacher. Alistair said that someday I might need these recordings, because they were more than just ideas. He said that the future was unwritten, and I have made a decision. In these last few moments before I say goodbye, my story will take a final turn. The next time you hear my voice, it will not be my voice. And this isn't for you. This is for my wife, Carol. I've been staring at this small key, the last remnant of my past, and I'm ready to use it once again, to see a world in a grain of sand and a heaven in a wild flower. Hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. I'm about to disappear once more. Carol, you don't exist in this world. You never did. So you may never hear these words, but I'm going to say them anyway. I'm going to find you, and I'm going to make this right. No matter how many worlds I may cross, I'm coming for you. I'm coming home. Until next time, thank you to everyone who made this project possible. All the voices, all the musicians, and all the listeners from all over the world. Thank you all so much for your support. This has been a co-production with Partners in Crime Media. A toast to you.
Partners in Crime Media.